So today is Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. As I've said, one of the most exciting and important days in the Christian year. Today is the church's birthday, the day we celebrate the church coming into being through the gift and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But a question for you before we start, which I had to answer and try and answer to a bunch of 10 and 11 year olds in one of our local schools when we're talking about spiritual things. I went in there for an hour. What is the Holy Spirit? Discuss with the person next to you, around you. Give me an answer. Come up with an answer that works for somebody in the region of 10 to 11. You're probably going to do a much better job of it than I did. Theological courage only prepares you for some things. So what is the Holy Spirit? How would you describe the Holy Spirit? Go for it. Okay, you've actually had longer than I had, because I was asked the question, I was stood there, I had to give my answer. Okay, so what short answer would you give to a 10 and 11? And if you say any word that wouldn't work, or I feel wouldn't work, I will just go, okay? That's really going to encourage you to keep your hands down, isn't it? I shouldn't have said that bit. Okay, we've got Laurie over here. So the Holy Spirit is God in action. Oh, I like that. Thelma?
The Holy Spirit is person, not an it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the person who helps us and gives us power to be the people that Jesus wants us to be.
Thank you.
It's what goes between man and God.
Thank you. I'm going to take one more from Jenny, and then we're going to move on. Interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for spirit, which means breath of God, is ruach. And actually, it's a feminine noun. So, he or she.
I just would have said the Holy Spirit is God in me.
Excellent, thank you very much. He did just as well as I did. He did better than I did, to be honest. I'm not going to say what I said. But before we can talk about Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we need to have some idea about what we mean about this Holy Spirit. And we can have very misguided and deluded ideas about what the Holy Spirit is. So we need to kind of have... when I was sort of preparing this, I realised actually we probably need to do some more work on the Holy Spirit and some more teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because it can be quite broad, our understanding of whom he is. But what I do know about the Holy Spirit is that we simply don't give in our lives, if I'm honest with myself, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, enough time for the Holy Spirit. We don't give the Holy Spirit enough time. The Spirit is there to be our advocate, our comforter, the teller of truth of who Jesus is, so that we can glorify God. And yet we don't allow the Holy Spirit, I don't allow the Holy Spirit enough time to actually do that. Let me put it this way. In the church's calendar, its year of different things that we go through during Christmas, during the year, we spend 40 days in Lent, which is a very good thing. But we only celebrate Pentecost for one Sunday. Now, in a way, we're always talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's only on this one day that we intentionally focus on the Holy Spirit. And yet we need the Holy Spirit so much. And I nearly said then that we need to understand the Holy Spirit so much. But that's the reverse to some degree of what we need. We need to experience the Holy Spirit. We need to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. If someone ever tells you they've got a handle, they understand the Holy Spirit, they've actually worked out the Holy Spirit, then they are trying to sell you something and you should run. Because the Holy Spirit is a holy mystery. Saying you've worked out the Holy Spirit, saying that you understand it, that you've got a complete handle on it, is like it's like saying that you've got a mathematical formula for what love is, or for what kissing is. That you can actually describe it in maths. Let me put it this way. Could I have my wonderful assistants, please? Now, I am going to ask this lovely couple, they can introduce themselves. And you are?
Katie.
And you are?
I'm Katie's husband.
For what you're about to see, that is probably a good thing. Now, we've done this before. I've used this illustration once before to explain about science and faith. And it's not because I'm a gooseberry and I like to see other people snog that I'm doing this, okay? But what I want you to do, okay, is just sort of come towards the middle so we can all see. Okay, and I just want you to hold this microphone and I want you to have a conversation for about 30 seconds about what a kiss is, okay? Just have a conversation about, and we it's just between you two, we're just listening in, there you go.
It's a sign of affection. Yes, it's a sign of affection. It's
a comfort.
Comfort. It's intimate.
Yes.
Something that I don't do that type of kissing with anybody else. If you know what I mean.
Okay, we'll stop you there. That's fine. Spot on. Okay. So what I want you to do instead is now kiss, not for 30 seconds. I did prompt them they were going to kiss, and Katie said to Adrian, no tongues. And I said, well, it's actually the Holy Spirit. You know, it is Pentecost. You know, tongues are fine, but we won't do that, okay? So, can I just ask you to kiss? And can I just ask you another question? You can take that to answer. Talking about it, sort of trying to understand it, or actually experiencing it, doing it. Which is your preferred option, Adrian, Katie?
It's obviously the latter, isn't it?
It is so the latter.
Easier doing it than explaining it, yeah.
Okay. Adrian, can you join the dots? Can either one of you to join the dots? What's my next sentence I'm going to say? How am I going to link it to the Holy Spirit?
Wow, is this a bit like trying to describe the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. And try and understand the Holy Spirit, when actually what we need to do is experience the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the better thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah, like kissing, it's a lot better doing it than talking about it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Give us a kiss.
Maybe once a year, I'm just going to get some random couple up here. I'm going to work an illustration into it. The Holy Spirit is that life-giving spirit that comes from God to connect us to his love. His love which inspires us, powers us, guides us, strengthens us, and leads us. We need to experience God's love for ourselves to be inspired, powered, and guided and strengthened in our love. And if you're not sure what I am talking about when I'm talking about the power of God's love, I recommend that when you go home, you go on YouTube, and like about 40,000 other people so far already, listen to Michael Curry's talk at the royal wedding yesterday, which was just awesome. And he talked about it, about God's love being the ultimate source of all love. We need the Holy Spirit to connect to that love. It is the Holy Spirit that helps our body, our mind, and our spirit. It's not just our spirit, it's our body, our mind, and our spirit connecting with God's love. And if we don't experience the ultimate source of all love for ourselves, then our desires for love gets muddled, it gets lost, it gets selfish, and it gets self-centered. We need a source of love to inspire our love, and we can look in other places. And a couple of weeks ago, after my car having broken down twice and having called the AA out, it wasn't even the AA, it was the RAC. Having called out the RAC twice to sort me out, I then had an incident at Tilshead petrol station, and I texted a couple of people, and I didn't give them the full details, because I must admit to being slightly embarrassed about what had happened. I didn't give them the full details of what had happened. All I sent was, got a car problem, I'm stuck in Tilshead, we're going to have to cancel our meeting, I'm really sorry. But what I had done for the first time in my life, can I just hasten to add, having been running on vapors all the way to Tilshead Garage, I was desperate to get back to Devizes to get to these meetings. I then put a full tank of petrol in my diesel car. I was fortunate to have worked it out as I was handing over the money. I still had to pay £83 worth of petrol before it was then, 3 hours later, emptied out by the RAC. God bless them. And then put another sort of 70-odd pounds worth of diesel into it. But I didn't turn the engine on. We need to put the right fuel in. We need to put the right fuel in. Finding the source wherever else is like putting petrol into a diesel engine. We need to go to the source of love. We need to go to God. To live fully as disciples of Christ is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbour as yourself. And we can't do that without experiencing God's love for ourselves. Trying to do this love thing without the Holy Spirit, without experiencing God's love, is like being a kettle that isn't plugged in, trying to boil water. We just can't do it. And we need to be clear. Being a Christian isn't an intellectual exercise with a focus on doctrine or liturgy or sermons. Being a Christian is not a moral program of right behaviour. Being a Christian is not a plan for social action. It is all of these things in part. It must be all of these things in part. But being a Christian is about being reconciled to God's love through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and being connected to God's love through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So how can we make, and this is a question for you to think about, okay? How can we make more space for the Holy Spirit in our lives? For the source of all that love is about. The Holy Spirit is a person. There are three persons in the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit is there with Father and Son. So the question is, before you get too abstract and spiritual and kind of otherworldly and weirded out by it, how do you actually go about in normal life? Because the Holy Spirit is there for normal life, not for some weird other kind of life. It's the Holy Spirit is there for us to connect with in normal life. How do you make space for another person in your life? What do you practically have to do to make space for a new child, for a partner? What do you do? Think about it for 30 seconds and think about how you can relate that to making space for the Holy Spirit. You can talk about it, actually. Just mindful of the time, I won't take answers. But let me just give you a couple of things that I thought about. You will have other things that you thought about. But we have to be intentional about letting somebody else into our lives. We can't just hope that somebody else comes into our lives. There was this girl called Karen Card when I was a younger lad, and we used to travel on the school bus together, and I used to really, really like her. And I would always hope that she would become part of my life in some significant way. And it never happened because hope wasn't quite enough. I needed to do something about it. I needed to speak some words to her and let her know and invite her into my life in some way. I probably wouldn't use the words, can I invite you into my life? That would have been a bit weird. It was a hopeless situation anyway. She was 18 and I was 13. There was no way it was going to happen. I knew it was over when she said to me, "You're like a little brother to me." Oh, come on. But we need to be intentional. We can't just expect it. We need to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And we need to let the Holy Spirit, let him into our inner spaces as well as our outer spaces. As we do with our partners over time, and for some of us men it's a bit freaky, but our partners, they get in our head, don't they? But we need to allow that to happen. For the Holy Spirit to fully get into both the external parts of our lives and the internal parts of our lives, so that we're sharing our thoughts, our fears, our hopes and our dreams with the Holy Spirit. We need to find time. No relationship can exist can be sustained without time together. And we need to share our stuff with the Holy Spirit. Our money, our homes, our families, our relationships. All the normal stuff that goes on in our lives, we need to invite and share with the Holy Spirit. If you have hobbies, enthusiasms, share them with the Holy Spirit. One of the things I do normally for about an hour or two in the on a Monday, on my day off, can we just keep this quiet? This is between us. I know this is probably being recorded. It's my day off. I have this glorious thing where I have a day off when the kids are at school. And I spend probably the first hour or so listening to music that I really love. And I can't sing for toffee, as some of you know. The glass has been double insured just in case I ever break out into song. But I sing along to these. They're not church songs. They're just this music and songs that I really, really love singing. I sing along. And sometimes I find Anna leaning against the kitchen door, watching me dancing in the living room and singing loudly to the songs that I enjoy. And the Holy Spirit rejoices in me enjoying music and dancing and having a rest. And I used to think, this is what am I doing with this time? And now I kind of think, come on, Holy Spirit, let's do this together. As my wife watches me, you are watching over me, and you are relishing in me taking that time out. I'm not saying that's for everybody. Your thing might be fishing or gardening, okay? But bring the Holy Spirit into those moments. With our body, mind, and spirit. When we have someone in our lives, they're part of our lives, we express that with our body in so many ways. We hold a baby. We embrace a loved one. We cradle an elderly parent. Being open to the Spirit in prayer, it's not just this thing that goes on inside, it's a body posture. I'm opening myself to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in the way we hold our body and our hands and our thoughts. That may help us. That may help us. So what we're going to do is we're going to be a little bit intentional now. You know, I said we needed to invite, remember Karen Card? We needed to invite the Holy Spirit. I hope she doesn't listen to this. We need to invite the Holy Spirit. So at Pentecost, I encourage everyone to come and be anointed with oil. And we have some oil here. And what we're going to do is we're just going to ask, and we're going to do this in silence, because part of giving space is giving silence. And we're just going to come, and for those that want to, come and kneel at the front, and we are going to anoint you with a cross on your forehead with oil. And we're just going to say these simple words. Come, Holy Spirit, bring the power of your love into your life rather than our lives, because we want to pray this for you. Bring the power of your love into your life. Amen. And we're just going to hold that silently as we do it. And as we're doing it and other people are receiving the blessing of with the oil, you can pray that, continue to pray that prayer for the person that's coming down to receive it, and pray it for yourself in preparation as you come to be anointed. One of the really amazing things about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is it was universal. It was egalitarian. The Holy Spirit was equally poured out on everybody. On everybody. Rich, poor, young, old. So what we're going to do to show some affinity to that is we're actually going to... The oil that has been blessed is actually in one of these little pots. There's two of them. These pots are single, they're single-use pots. They're from India, and they're made by the lowest caste of Indians in their caste system, by Dalits. And they're made cheaply and they're made roughly. And the reason why that is because anybody else in another caste wants to actually use the same crockery that has been used by a Dalit. So they get used once by a Dalit and then they get smashed.
so that nobody else is tainted by that Dalit's use of the crockery. But actually, we're going to say no. We're going to bless each one of you with a cup that's been made by a Dalit for a Dalit in unity with them, but also just to recognize that the Holy Spirit is poured out on everybody throughout the world, Dalit, whatever, for all of us. And the other thing we're going to do is that I'm not going to do it, and neither is Jennifer, and neither is anybody, any other person here who is ordained or who you may feel is somehow special, because the Holy Spirit wasn't for special people. It was for everybody. Okay, and me doing it makes no difference than anybody else doing it. If you have a faith in Jesus Christ, then you can do this. So what I'm going to do is ask Joseph, who's one of the younger people here today, and Dennis, who's older, to come on up, and they are going to do this. They are going to anoint you, okay? So when you come here, Joseph will be here anointing these people, and Dennis will be here anointing these people, and I'm going to come and join you and be anointed by these two. But first, you two need to anoint one another. And then we're just going to continue in silence. And just going to pray a quick prayer. Dear Lord, come by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the power of your love. Amen.